Welcome to the Echo Community Church Podcast. At Echo, we're all about being and making disciples of Jesus Christ. And on this podcast, you'll hear solid teaching from the Bible from our pastors at Echo. Thanks for checking us out and enjoy the message.
We're going to be focusing on the Palm Sunday story, but the Apostle Paul actually describes for us an important part of Palm Sunday that we miss. An important part of Palm Sunday is elevation change. The story starts high up in a mountain and then goes down into a valley and then it goes up another mountain again. And it's a cool way to remember that Jesus came from high up in the heavens all the way down to earth for us, and then he ascended back to glory again. But the Apostle Paul summarizes it really well in Philippians chapter 2. And we have Melody, who's going to come and read for us this morning. Will you welcome Melody as she comes?
That's okay, I won't move anything. Philippians 1, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it states, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in a human form, he humbled himself and..." "Obedience, thank you, sorry. "Obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God evaluated himself to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Well done. It's not easy, is it? Everything is easy until you're doing it in front of people, and then it gets that much harder. Like, I understand. Thank you for being brave and reading for us this morning. We really appreciate that. It's an amazing story, Palm Sunday. And what we think of Palm Sunday was probably the two things we think of most. What do you think they are? What are the two facts of Palm Sunday we think about the most? Palms. Okay, that was a good one. Yeah, we think of palm branches that the people were waving and they were singing songs, right, with the word Hosanna in them. And then probably the other thing is a vehicle. The donkey, yeah. The cult of a donkey, a little baby donkey, a donklet. Yeah, you know, like, I won't do that at the 1 p.m. service. I'm sorry. We'll cut that one. We'll cut that one right out. I joked around with the early service, and I don't know if you got to see it because you got a lot of movement. In the video that they chose, it really almost looks, the first time I saw the video, like the donkey was on fire. And then the camera moved, and I was like, okay, no animals were harmed in the making of the video. Yeah, and we think about Jesus riding. When I imagine it, I used to imagine Jesus riding on the donkey around the crowded streets of Jerusalem. And then when I got older and studied the story a little bit more, that's not actually what happens. The main part of the donkey ride doesn't happen inside the city. It happens outside the city. And it's actually kind of a really steep trip of Jesus going way down and then going way up. I actually have some pictures to show this to you. I took a trip to Israel a few years ago, and I had the opportunity to actually retrace the steps of Jesus on Palm Sunday. So let me just share a couple pictures with you to help you understand the topography of this story. This is a picture I took standing on Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. And they believe where I was standing was within a few hundred feet of where Jesus started his trip on Palm Sunday. And if you look at that picture, at about the top middle, you see the golden dome up there? That's the top of the Temple Mount. So from the top of Mount Olives across to where Jesus ended the journey, not too far, but it's really high. And he had to go really low and then really high again. Now, if you look down from that golden dome about halfway to the middle of the screen, you might see a little white rectangle. That's a tour bus. So that gives you an idea of the scale. And then under that tour bus, do you see what looks like layers of a layer cake, but it looks like it's made out of stones? That's actually the temple wall. Oh, I'm sorry, the city wall. So Jesus had to walk down from where this picture was all the way to that green spot in the middle. That's called the Kidron Valley. That was 400 feet almost straight down with no walking path. Now, somebody asked me in the early survey, what are all those rectangle concrete things? They're actually graves. And people in the Jewish, people of the Jewish culture pay big money to be buried there with their feet pointed towards the top of the Mount of Olives because they're waiting for the Messiah to come and land on the Mount of Olives, and they want to be the first ones to see him. So that's what those are. So if you look, the walk wasn't all that far, but it was way far down. He goes from 2,700 feet at the top of Mount of Olives down 400 feet to the bottom of the Kidron Valley. Now, today, it's such a steep walk, it's very dangerous. So there's so many tourists that want to retrace his steps. They actually had to build special paths. If you want to look at the next two pictures, you'll start to see this is a little bit farther down. You see on the far right-hand side of the screen, there's like a little walkway. We built that many years later because it's pretty steep. In fact, the next picture, you can see it even better. It's not an easy walk. And Jesus would have been riding a donkey, not on a path, but down a grassy, rocky hill. And along the way, he stopped and wept over Jerusalem. In fact, I have a picture of the spot where the view that Jesus would have had. If you want to go to the next picture, this is where the spot where Jesus would have stopped, and this is the view of Jerusalem he would have had. Now you can see better the city wall, and you can see the Temple Mount, and that's within about 20 feet of that spot is where Jesus stopped and wept over the city of Jerusalem. But he wasn't all the way down yet. He wasn't all the way down to the bottom of the valley. So the next picture will show you. This is me high tech, right? This is me standing in the bottom of the valley. But then Jesus had to climb up again. Do you see he had to go up another 200 feet to get into the city? So he went down 400 feet, and then he went up. And what I'm pointing to is the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. That is the doorway to get into the city that Jesus probably would have gone through, but one of the leaders, world leaders later on, bricked it up, and it's closed now, so you can't get in that way. But I did climb up the 200 feet to take a picture of a gate that was open. Here's a door. Here's a modern doorway that you would have to walk through today if you went to Jerusalem and you wanted to go into the old city. You'd walk through one of the gates that's still open just like that. So what I want you to focus on and what I want you to understand, Palm Sunday tells us a story of Jesus starting on top of a mountain, lowering himself down into a valley, and then climbing back up again where he would go to suffer and die and ultimately bring us the victory. Jesus came from a high place to a low place, and then God exalted him to a high place. Part of the Palm Sunday story is the elevation change of everything. In fact, the big idea that we have for this morning is that Palm Sunday was both a day to celebrate, but Jesus also walked through a doorway of suffering. Now, it's a day to celebrate. And what did they celebrate on the first Palm Sunday? Well, they didn't know it was Palm Sunday yet. But there were some Jews that were really excited for Jesus to come into Jerusalem because they read the Old Testament scriptures and they were convinced that Jesus was the king who was going to go into the city and throw out one group of people to help another group of people. They thought Jesus was going to defeat the Romans to save the Jews, and that was a good thing for them to hope for. However, that wasn't Jesus' mission that day. Jesus' mission that week was to defeat Satan and the power of sin and death for all people for all time. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate that Jesus came down to earth. In fact, that's my first point today. First thing we celebrate is Jesus came down to us. Jesus came down to us. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Now, there's another holiday. Let's think real quick. Is there another holiday where we celebrate Jesus coming down from heaven to us? Christmas. Don't we celebrate at Christmas that Jesus came from heaven to earth and and how did he enter earth? He entered as a human, but was he 18 when he showed up on the earth? Was he 6? I heard someone say it back here. Oliver, did you get it? What was he? Oh, you said it, Esther. What was he? He came to earth as the most humble, fragile, helpless, breakable little baby. He entered earth at Christmas. He came down to us at Christmas. In fact, some of you that are like in middle school, high school, you'll get this. And Esther, you'll probably get this too. There's a special word that we use. We call it the incarnation. Incarnation. Now, that's not an instant breakfast. I'm not talking about a flower. Incarnation, and that's the word to describe this mysterious thing that Jesus was fully God and at the same time fully human, the God-man. He didn't subtract anything from himself, but he added being a human being to himself. And you know why he came to us? He came to us because we couldn't get to him. and he didn't want to be separated anymore. He's a dad who didn't want to be separated from his kids, and he knew his kids couldn't get to him. And so if he wanted to be together with us, he would have to come to us. And he did in the form of Jesus. So when Jesus comes down the mountain, it reminds us of what Paul said in his letter, that Jesus came down to earth from heaven. One way I like to remember it, and Dr. Joe and I talk about this all the time, he left his place to come to our place, and then he took our place so we could go to his place. Does that make sense? So some of the story of Jesus' life is just summarized in the hike that he took, or the ride that he took on Palm Sunday. He had to go low before God could lift him high. And it reminds me that we are supposed to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And a formula for you to live an impactful, victorious life is at times we also have to lower ourselves so that God can use us to lift other people up. We have to lower ourselves. That means being humble. And being humble doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It doesn't mean having low self-esteem. It doesn't mean beating yourself up for all your mistakes. Humble does not mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less and thinking of other people's needs. Think about it. Jesus was thinking about our needs, not his comfort, when he agreed to leave heaven. Heaven was a very comfortable, awesome place for Jesus to be. But he said yes to God's mission and assignment to lower himself, to humble himself and come to earth so that he could be the sacrifice for us. God lifted Jesus up, and if we put our faith in him, he'll lift us up too. And the way that I live this out in my life reminds me of an experience I had when I was like 8 years old. I was involved in something in our church because my parents took me to church when I was younger, and I was involved in something maybe a couple of you have heard of. Have you ever heard of something called Royal Rangers? A few of you have. Some of you haven't. We actually have a Royal Rangers ministry here and a girls' ministries here. And they're discipleship programs. They're age-specific, gender-specific discipleship programs for young people. When I went to Royal Rangers, it was a little bit different than modern Royal Rangers. They're learning a whole lot more stuff than I did. When I was in Royal Rangers, we learned things like how to start a fire and then how not to start a fire. We learned how to camp. We learned how to hike. We learned survival skills. We learned how to tie sticks together with can't get undone knots. We learned how to put up tents, or at least watch the commanders put up tents while we tried to help. We learned how to camp in the rain, because every time we scheduled a camp out, it rained and rained and rained. We learned how to cook food and burn pancakes over an open flame. We learned how to do all kinds of stuff. And one of our favorite events of the year was our district powwow. It's when all the boys of Royal Rangers in the whole state of Pennsylvania would go together in Harrisburg in this big campground, and we would camp there Friday night, Saturday night, and into Sunday, and we would have competitions and games. And at the night time when it would get dark, we'd have these big council fires, and they'd light this big, gigantic fire, and they'd have a stage set up, and we would sing worship songs together, and hundreds of boys and men would gather in those fields, and some would tell us about the Bible and teach us about Jesus, and we had an opportunity to think about our relationship with God. And one year, I had a real big privilege. This name might not mean much to you, but when I grew up, this guy was a pretty big hero. I grew up way back in the 1900s. And there is a guy that was at one of the powwows that I went to. He was the founder of Royal Rangers. He's not alive anymore, but he was getting older at that time, and his health wasn't real good. He was a man by the name of Johnny Barnes. Johnny Barnes. And he was our speaker that year. And I remember when he came up to speak, his body was kind of getting a little bit old, and so he had to sit down while he spoke. But here's what he said that made an impact on my life to this day. He said, I want to talk to all the men that are here for just a moment. I want to remind you, yes, Royal Rangers teaches life skills and survival skills and camping skills and hygiene skills and cooking skills. And it teaches good morals and good ethics. But he said, Royal Rangers is not just a camping program where kids earn badges. Royal Rangers is a program where Christian men disciple young men. And he said, I want you to remember something. He said, there's a lot of big, strong men here. You're big and you're strong and you're tall. And I knew they weren't talking about me. But he said, you're big and you're strong and you're tall and you know a lot of things. And these boys really look up to you. But then he said this. He said, whenever I talk to one of the boys here, and he said, it's hard for me to do. He said, I made a decision when I just started discipling young men to do this. He said, I get down on one knee. And I get down on their eye level, and I lower myself so I can look eye to eye right in the eyes of the boys, and he says, a man never stands so tall as when he stoops to help a boy. Man, did that impact my life. Now, I admit that I forget to do this sometimes, but man, that really stuck in my mind, and I just thought about that, because I remember at times what it was like to be a little kid, like going to a sports event and seeing one of the athletes, and when you looked up, it was like they went the whole way to the ceiling, and it was like you felt so little and helpless and weak, but it would mean so much to me. Like if you'd get one of their attention, they'd come over you and they'd just kneel down and they'd look like that. The impact that it makes for a child when we as adults would just lower ourselves. And listen, I'm on the other side of 50 now. This is not easy. In fact, sometimes it takes a minute to get back up. The other night I was hoping to find something under one of my boys' beds and I was like, listen, we found it. Is there anything else you need while I'm down here? Because, you know, it would take me a minute to get up out of here again. Let's find everything here. And Johnny Barnes even said, you know, as I got older and I got sore, this hurt. But that's something that we can all think of. Think about how far down did Jesus have to really go from heaven to find us? Yeah, think about that. And wow, we look up to Jesus and he set an example for us. He didn't think that he was too good or too above stooping down to help us. The whole reason that you and I are saved is because Jesus said, I am willing to put my ego and my pride and my privileges and my benefits aside in order to get low enough that I can gather my kids around me again so God can lift them up. So I want you to remember that. We celebrate on Palm Sunday. Jesus came down the mountain, but it remembers that he came down to us. But the second thing to remember is that Jesus just didn't leave us laying down. And Jesus, even after he died and was buried, he didn't stay dead. God raised him up for us. So Jesus came down to us, but God also raised Jesus up for us. Paul says it this way, God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above all other names. We know what happened when Jesus walked through that doorway on Palm Sunday and Holy Monday. He was reporting for his assignment, and the rest of that week ended in what we'll talk about on Good Friday and then again on Easter and Sunday. Easter Sunday, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the grave. But the Holy Spirit, the power of God, rose Jesus from the dead, and he lived, and he walked out of that grave on Easter Sunday morning. Yes, Jesus came down to us, but God raised him up for us. And coming to Jesus, we have to lower ourselves and humble ourselves, but he always lifts us up. You know what it reminds me of? And I don't mean this to be embarrassing, but it reminds me of when Kendra and I's boys were a little bit younger. And because our boys are... Parents, you know this. You snap your fingers and they've grown 2 feet and they're that much. Oh, and you're like, where did all those other days go? But Kendra and I, you know, we have a bed that's kind of high up off the ground. And when our boys were little, they wanted to be with us all the time, which was really cool. But when they were little, you know, they'd kind of come into the room and, you know, they'd look up and we'd be there reading or watching a TV show or maybe having a nap or something. And they'd want to be with us. And we'd look down over the side of the bed and it probably looked like about 9 feet up in the air. And the little guys, I mean, when you're just little, they couldn't get up there, but they're looking up and they're wanting to be up there and we're looking down at them. And if they were going to be where we are, who had to lower themselves? We did. We had to reach over, pick them up and pull them up on the bed. And then, you know, and then we were together. And then usually it involved wrestling and I would lose almost every time because our boys are strong. But isn't that kind of how Jesus found all of us? When we said, Jesus, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? He said, absolutely, and he lifted you up. When you said, Jesus, I did wrong, can you please forgive me? He didn't say, you know what, stay down there and feel bad for a while and then we'll talk. He didn't do that. When you said, Jesus, I can't do this on my own, I need your help. He didn't say, well, it's about time you figured that out and then walked away and let you be stressed and anxious. That's not what he does. He leans over and he lifts us up when we lower ourselves. Jesus lowered himself to the earth, and when he couldn't get any low, he went even lower into the ground, underneath the ground. The Bible says he descended even into, that's going to get a little difficult for the kids to understand. We'll leave that one for next Sunday. He went as low could be. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said it this way. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher who lived in the late 1800s in England. He's one of my favorite preachers and writers of all time. He said this, the lower Jesus stoops to save us, the higher we ought to lift him in our adoring praise. Blessed be his name because he stoops and stoops. Stoops means to lean over, lower yourself, and stoops and stoops. And when he reaches our level and it becomes man, he stoops and stoops and stoops lower and deeper. Yet Jesus wants to be with us so bad that he's willing to stoop down to our level. And even when we are sunk and we feel like we can't do anymore, he lifts us up. And he lifts us up with his grace, with forgiveness, with mercy. He gives us strength when we feel weak. He gives us courage when we feel anxious. He lets us feel togetherness when we feel alone. He raised Jesus up just in the same way that Kendra and I remember, you know, picking up our boys when they were too little to hop up there. We would be like, we want to be with you, and we will reach over and pick you up. And if Jesus could do that for us, can't we do that for others? Well, you know what it means? We're going to have to humble ourselves at times. We're going to have to put our schedule aside and say, your need is more important than my appointment. Your needs at my expense. That's what love is your needs at my expense. It means maybe I set aside my right to be in line, or those of you that drive, my right to stay in this lane while you're trying to merge. And maybe it just, you know what, I can let them in. Right? Conclusion thought. Following Jesus' example on Palm Sunday of lowering ourselves so God can lift us up will lead us to victory. Victorious living is lowering ourselves so God can lift us up. In fact, let me make it visual for you. This is pretty cool. Miss Julie helped me with this. She took a picture of a side view. Can you guys put that? On the left hand is the direction Jesus came down the Mount of Olives, and then the Kidron Valley, and then it goes up to the Eastern Gate. You kind of see that? Now, what letter does that look like if you had to make a letter on there? Looks like a V for victory, right? If we lower ourselves like Jesus lowered himself on Palm Sunday, God will lift us up, and that gives us the victory. So I asked myself a closing question. So what does it mean to lower myself? Does it mean I have to walk around like kneeling down all the time, and kids are thinking, do I have to bow down to my parents when I get home? Like, no, that's not what we're talking about at all. But I put a couple practical ideas that come from James chapter 4 in here. I won't read the whole verse because I know it's getting a little long and everybody's getting, you know, your attention span's about done. But here's some practical things we can do that looks like lowering ourselves. What does humility look like today? If I want to live like Jesus did by lowering himself, what does that mean? Sometimes it means we have to admit or confess some things. Like admitting when we're wrong. You know, one of the hardest things to say is, I'm sorry. Some of you are like, it's easy for me to say I'm sorry. I say it all the time. Well, some of us have a problem with saying I'm sorry too much, and some of us have a problem with saying I'm sorry too little. But we say I'm sorry when we know that we're wrong. And let's be honest, that's not always easy, is it? Depends who we're saying I'm sorry to and for what. Because that, when we say I'm sorry and we mean it, it means we're agreeing that we did something wrong. And when we say we're sorry to the other person, we're kind of admitting that I kind of deserve some sort of punishment or something for what I did. And that's hard to do. But humbling ourselves means at times being willing to admit or confess we were wrong. I am sorry and I'm wrong. In fact, sometimes that keeps us from walking close to God because we just won't admit, God, I've done wrong. And I'm not going to say that I'm not going to admit that I did wrong. I'm not going to admit that I'm sorry. But one of the ways that we can demonstrate humility is just admitting when we're wrong to the people that we've done wrong. Another thing that's hard to say sometimes is, I need help. Can you help me? I'm a guy. And I go into Home Depot and Lowe's. And I need help every time I walk through the door. Because I go in there like, all right, I need to find something very specific. Like, I need to find that spray that makes the tires look shiny. And it's not like on a sign. And I could go ask somebody, and it, for whatever works out for me, it usually always ends up being like a female employee with the orange vest on that knows where everything is. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose points on my man card if I have to ask her where it is. So I actually have gone so far as to download the Home Depot app, which allows you to bypass asking a human. You can just tell it what store you're in and what you're looking for. It'll tell you the bay and the aisle, and that works until you go to the bay and the aisle, and it's still not there. And you look, bay 59, aisle, you know, bay 59 and aisle 8, and you look, and you look, and you look, and you look, and like, all right, I have to, you know, I'm going to have to go inform one of the ladies who's working here that the thing is wrong. I'm just like, ma'am, you know, do you need help finding anything? No, that was not, no. I don't need help finding anything. I need you to correct your mapping system. oh, well, let's go look. And then they walk into the aisle to the bay right in front of me. Oh, you mean this right here? And then I have to crawl. And she's like, yes, please hand me your man card. And she cuts off two corners and that's it. Kids, that's a joke. Your parents will explain that to you later. Sometimes it's hard to say, I need help and I can't do this by myself. But that is a way that sometimes we just lower our ego and we open ourselves up to help. But it also means looking out for other people that you can help. But doing that, you know, the real kind of help people need is going to come at a time when maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you're not feeling especially helpful, but there's a need to help. You know, you see mom or dad struggling with the groceries coming inside, and you might not feel like helping, but it's time to help, right? Oh, I just earned points with parents, right? Because wait till you get to be an adult. Do you think we want to parent all the time? We don't always feel like parenting, but parenting, you don't get to clock in and clock out. It's an assignment that we have all the time. But lowering ourselves sometimes says your needs is more important than what I want right now. Think about Jesus. You know, he didn't need to be crucified. He didn't have this felt need to be hurt, but he chose to do so because that was the only way we could be together. And he was lowered the whole way into the grave, but he didn't stay there. God lifted him up and exalted him to the highest place. When we lower ourselves, God will lift us up. And that is the pathway to victory that Jesus shows us on Palm Sunday. He went from the high mountain to the low valley up to the city. He came from his place to our place to take our place so we could go to his place. And that is good news, isn't it? Let me pray over you this morning as our worship team comes. I just want to give you an opportunity to think about what we talked about today. And most importantly, here's my question. When you think about how far Jesus came down to rescue you, to know you, to forgive you, to live in you, to make your life new, don't you at least want to know him? Don't you at least want to be near him? Every one of us has this deep longing in our heart to be complete and fulfilled and loved and accepted. And there's all kinds of different things in life that you'll find that offer that to you, but none of them last. Only Jesus offers lasting love, purpose, hope, and identity. And maybe for some of us today, humbling ourselves means admitting to God, God, I've done wrong in my life. I've disobeyed you. I've lived life the way that I think is best. But I feel lost and empty, and I feel the weight of all of that, and I want my life to change today. And so I'm coming to you today, Jesus, to ask for forgiveness for my sins, to admit that I can't do this on my own, to thank you for coming down for me, and I want you to raise me up and give me a brand new life. And if that's what you desire today, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so I just want to give you that opportunity right now. All the grown-ups in the room, all the kids, all the students. I know there's many, 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 many of us here today that what I just described is something you've already experienced in life, and that is wonderful. So in this moment right now, you can do one of two things. If you've already experienced the saving power of Jesus, you've put your faith and trust in him, he's forgiven you of your sins, you're a follower of Jesus, you can quietly pray that anybody in the room who would like to be saved will have the faith to do so in this moment. Or you can take this time to just quietly say, Jesus, what's a way in my life that I could humble myself so that you can use me to lift others up? And just listen to him talk to you and use that as an opportunity to hear from him and kind of clarify your mission for this week. And let me come back to those of you that are saying, I want to have a relationship with Jesus and I want it to start today. All you need to do is tell him that and he'll save you. That's all you need to do. Just tell him that with your own words. He's listening. He can hear you. He's alive, not dead. He'll hear you. And if you need some guidance, here's a simple prayer you can pray. Jesus, I know I've done wrong, but I want my life to change today. I agree with you. I've sinned. I've disobeyed you. And I'm sorry. I'm ready to change. I believe you can forgive me, Jesus. I believe you lived a perfect life. You died on the cross to take my place. You paid my punishment so I didn't have to. And I also believe that you rose from the dead and you're alive today. And that's why I have confidence that I'm talking to you and you're hearing me. So please forgive me of my sins. Save me, change me, and send your spirit to live inside of me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Help me to lower myself so I can lift up others just like you've lifted me up. In your name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the Echo Community Church podcast. If you prayed that prayer at the end of the message and began following Jesus Christ today, we'd love to celebrate with you and give you some simple next steps to take as you begin your new life with Him. Just email us at info@echochurchmd.com to let us know. If you'd like more information about Echo Community Church, you can check out our Facebook page or our website, echochurchonline.com. Thanks so much for listening.